Paul Allen Hunton is a general manager of Texas Tech Public Media in Lubbock, but he's a filmmaker at heart. Paul recently, figuratively, merged with El Paso by way of a completed merger between Texas Tech Public Media and KCOS El Paso. The merger brings the two stations together and creates unlimited potential for regional storytellers. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak, and welcome to On Film. Okay, let's just dive right into
it.
Before we go into the merger, as mentioned, you're a documentary filmmaker, so my first question always is, what drew you to filmmaking?
Well, first, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
excited to be here and visit the studios. So documentary filmmaking, how I came to filmmaking in general is when I was a kid, at night on Saturdays, the local NBC station syndicated Siskel and Ebert at the movies. And it came on after Saturday Night Live on Saturdays. And my dad would let us usually watch the first couple skits of Saturday Night Live before we were supposed to go to bed. But I would pretend to fall asleep, and he would just leave us there. And then he would fall asleep. And then after Saturday Night Live, I would watch Siskel and Ebert argue about movies. And it was the first time that I had ever realized movies were more than just the stories on the screen. Mm-hmm. That there was a cinematographer and art design and script writing, and that it could be better. It was the first time I heard people say the writing was bad. Well, what does that mean? The cinematography was amazing. Oh, what's that? So it was kind of the first time I realized that movies were the sum of their parts, and that each of those had a vision, a strategy, and a person behind them. And from there, I started to be like the number one person who noticed mess ups.
Yeah.
Like he had a hat in that scene or in that shot. And then when the camera turned, he didn't have his hat on anymore. Just goofy stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I finally realized movies were made and not just born out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right. And so from there, I just fell in love with the aspects of making movies, criticizing movies, et cetera. And then one year, they were reviewing a film called Hoop Dreams, which is a very famous documentary by Steve James, about inner city youth in Chicago who were poached by private high schools to go to the suburbs, play for these high schools so that they could have winning basketball teams. But then the high schools, if the player got injured or couldn't pay their tuition, basically cast them out to the side. So in the film, it's William Gates and Arthur Agee are the two teenagers. And what started out as a 30-minute PBS program turned into, I believe, an 8-year odyssey of filmmaking. And so you follow these kids from junior high all the way through college, into their college careers. And it was just one of the most, and I grew up playing basketball, AAU. I loved basketball. So I went down to my local video store, and they actually had a copy of it, and I watched it. Because it was documentary, it was the first time I had been ever, a young kid from New Mexico, very small town, had been transported into another person's life and seen what the world looks like through other people's eyes. And at that moment, it was just like, this is the most incredible thing. It's an empathy machine. It is a time machine. It is the ability to go into these other worlds and understand other human beings. And it wasn't something I knew right away that I wanted to do, but it was definitely something that I was very interested in. And so I started picking up the camera and just making my own movies. And at that time, it was basically VHS tapes. And at the point I started, I didn't have any way to edit. It's analog. And so I would have to shoot my scripts in order, scene by scene, and just hit pause every time I finished the scene. And then
cool.
If I wanted to, the only thing I could ever do is erase the last scene, and I would have to rewind it, cue it up, and then hit record again. And I would just make these little films with my brothers and my friends, scene by scene, shot by shot, on VHS camera.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then I went to college for it, and it just took off
from there. So as a documentary filmmaker, I think one thing that I've kind of been interested in, especially nowadays, is that truth is kind of malleable these days. It shouldn't be, right?
Yeah.
But in your view, what is the role of the documentary filmmaker, you know, in these times?
So I don't think that documentary has ever changed what its core function should be. And that's what I said earlier. It should be an empathy machine. You know, I feel like a lot of people and a lot of the rhetoric around issues like immigration, issues about culture and religions, and people's fear of those things, The one thing that changes people's minds pretty quickly is when they walk in the shoes of others. For instance, you always hear about sort of fire and brimstone Christian preachers or people who are very anti-LGBTQ. And they, you know, it's not the right way to live and it goes against my beliefs, etc. And then once their son or daughter or nephew or niece comes out, all of a sudden it changes their beliefs about how we accept those people into our culture, society, etc. Right. And you hear that time and time again where somebody who used to be, you know, traditional marriage should be constitutionalized and institutionalized, and then their views change. Mm-hmm. And they always say, my son came out to me and I realized he's just like everybody else and there's nothing wrong with the way mm-hmm. he lives. And the reason why they're changing their views is not because they're hypocrites. It's because they've humanized the issue. They've met somebody who they love and who they see as just like themselves. And so all of a sudden the issue melts away and they're accepting and empathetic to it. Mm-hmm. And movies are that, not only documentary, but also fictional movies. And so to get back to a little more, instead of being so abstract about the idea, getting to like the actual question that you asked me. In the abstract, that's what movies yeah. are. In the reality, documentary can shine a light. Here's the thing, and I teach documentary in Texas Tech, and I am not actually one who believes that documentaries are objective journalistic pursuits. Mm-hmm. Every time I put a camera somewhere, I'm making a subjective decision. Mm. Every person I interview, I'm making a subjective decision. Every question that I ask, I'm putting my own subjectivity into these questions. Mm. Journalism is important, and trying to be as objective in all of those decisions is important. It's much easier to be objective when you are doing a 2-minute story for the local news or when you're writing a 500-word piece for the New York Times. But whenever you are creating a feature-length film that requires hours and months and years of your time, the objectivity always sort of gets pushed out because on PBS, many people have probably seen the series POV, Point of View. It's a documentary series that's broadcast on PBS. And Point of View is the perfect way to think of documentary. I think when people watch documentaries, they shouldn't say, I don't believe that, or that wasn't objective. I think they should understand who the filmmaker is and what that point of view is that we're trying to see. And I think that's what's objective, is that the person is truly coming to a subject and opening it up and showing it to the world through their eyes. And if you understand that, then it doesn't matter exactly what the subject matter is and how it was framed and contextualized and if they asked all the right questions or they didn't ask the right questions. Mm. It then becomes a matter of, did this person enlighten me through their experience making this movie? And I know that's hard if you don't know how movies are made and people yeah. have this idea of documentary as being a journalistic pursuit, but it's not.
Yeah. So when you were sort of making your films, your earliest films or even your later ones, you approached it one way, and then as you're making it, as you're editing it, as you were screening it, did it change sort of your interpretation of the subject or your worldview in any way?
You know, I can't necessarily think of one that I've made that has done that. I can think of one that I've seen, and it was called Trophy. It was produced by CNN Films, and it was about trophy hunting in Africa. Mm. Trophy hunting rhinos, lions, giraffes, elephants, etc. And when you start to watch that film, in the process of making that film for them, it changed their perspective on trophy hunting. There's more research I need to do, so I'm not advocating for one side of this issue yeah. or the other. But when I went into that film, I was very anti-trophy hunting. I think it's gross, and I think in many times it still is gross. But the way it was set up in South Africa, where this film takes place, is that as these people come and trophy hunt, the meat goes to the local villages, and these animals are actually bred, and an industry is made. The people that come over and hunt these animals are paying $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 to do it. And I've never even shot a gun in my life, so I would never be one to do this. But they're paying all this money, and it creates jobs, industry, and there are arguments in the film. I'm not saying they're right, once again, but there are arguments in the film that these animals would go extinct. They are being bred and kept alive because they are utilized in this industry to where they would be poached to death if it was up to just the local villagers who need it for food and sustenance, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so by creating an industry around trophy hunting where there's incentives to breed them and to have people come over and do it, they were actually able to increase the amount of these special rhinoceros that existed over there. I don't know if that's right or wrong. The film starts one way, ends another.
Yeah.
And the filmmakers say they started with one idea of trophy hunting and left with another.
Yeah.
I leave it up to everyone else to watch, and I need to do more research on the subject myself.
Yeah.
But it was a film where I was like, oh, that's really not what I thought this movie was going
to
be.
Okay. So just to pivot real quick, you and I crossed paths because of the merger between KCOS and Texas Tech Public Media. It's already been completed, and you guys are one big happy family.
Yay.
Now, and I'm excited. the thing that I'm interested in the most is how this merger, this expansion, creates opportunities for local filmmakers, you know, that may not have been there before. So what will happen potentially?
So we are in the phase of figuring out the strategy of how we move forward as a single public media organization. So we have television here in El Paso, led by Emily Loya, who's an amazing leader and has done incredible work. Just recently, we changed our name to PBS El Paso, which is just a strong identifier and shows the pride that this community has in its name. KCOS, those are four letters that people are attached to and have value.
Yeah.
But I feel like this community, El Paso, is what we're proud of and what should be the moniker of our station. So PBS El Paso was just the very first way we said, here we are, and this is who we are. So I love that. We are working through the strategy of how this changes our storytelling. And and we have El Paso Physicians, which is a live Dr. Collins show, and we have HiQ, which is a high school quiz show that have been the long-running shows here on KCOS or PBS El Paso. And we are now sort of looking at what kind of content can we add. I'm a content person, as I just spent the last 20 minutes talking about filmmaking, and I'm all about what can we create and how can we tell stories. El Paso is at the center of so many issues in our country right now. Immigration, trade, and unfortunately, in the recent past, gun violence. And we should be telling those stories. And PBS El Paso should be involved in that discussion and should enlighten the subjects for the people of El Paso. And right now, we don't do that. And we don't have a function to do that. And so we're looking at investing in storytelling, restructuring around the types of stories that we want to tell. So people can expect the same thing they've always expected from us, but can expect more. Now, where local filmmakers come into play, I don't exactly know yet. But I would love to set up a place, an incubator, where we can foster ideas, incubate ideas, experiment with ideas that come from our community, and turn them into content projects that we can be proud of and that this city can be proud of.
I've been discussing documentary filmmaking with Paul Allen Hutton, general manager of Texas Tech Public Media, which has recently completed a merger with KCOS El Paso, now known as PBS El Paso. On Film's producer and engineer is Dee Wu. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak. Thank you for joining me for On Film.